love the potential that is resident in every visitation of God's Spirit. The Word of God is full of promise for us today. Brother Roderick, would you do me, since you're here already and available, would you deliver that birthday greeting to Sister Netta? And Brother Andrew, would you deliver that one to Sister Franca, Francesca Magnolia? And I think Charlotte Biscotto's in Sunday school, so she'll never get her birthday greeting. So maybe she won't age another year. Maybe that's how it works. Wonderful things going on in the kingdom of God. It's our privilege, wonderful blessing to be in his house today. We are thrilled and excited to have Brother Julio May from Memphis with us today. The ground is laid. We've sown seed. We've prayed. We've sought the face of God. The praise group has worshiped in an anointed way. We thank God for every musician, every praise singer, for all those who pray daily through the week, here this morning, every ministry that's going on. We praise God for those wonderful people that are watching your children today and ministering to them and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And so here in this moment, we are interfacing with the Word of God, the moving of God's Spirit. And this is a new day and a new moment, and there is no telling what God will do. But God can change everything in a day, in a moment, with a willing heart and a God that knows no limitations. Anything is possible. Brother May is doing a wonderful work building up a church in the city of Memphis. Memphis is blessed. They've got Brother May, Brother Caleb Adams, Brother Nathaniel Urshan. My goodness, what a blessed city that is. But we're so glad you've taken time from your own area of work and your family, and you've come to be with us today. And we want you to come and take your liberty. And I don't know if he's quite sane or not. He got in here after 1 o'clock this morning. But we trust the Holy Ghost. But we want you to come take your liberty. You were with us over on Ruffner Road. This is your first time to this property. We've been here 2 years, and God is blessing. And we want you to leave a handful on purpose, and we want you to leave your signature in this house. Everybody extend your hand toward him as he comes and pray God's blessing on his life and his family and his home. Brother May, come and preach the Word of God to us today.
Let's love the Lord together today. Oh, God, we love you. Oh, God, we love you. We love you. You deserve it. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Every accolade, Lord God, belongs to you. Hallelujah. There is none like you. There is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful, sweet, powerful presence of God we feel here this morning. And that's amazing how you could put all of those adjectives and describe this meeting we're having right now. But that's what it's felt in this house today. Hallelujah. I believe that our God has showed up on purpose, and he showed up on purpose with you in mind because he wants you and I to be drawn closer to him. The Bible tells us if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. If we take a step, amen, don't ever think that God is behind you. He's always in front of you, and he's behind you, but I'm saying God's always there. I probably need to get to my message, you know, because if not, I can ramble all morning, and that's not a good thing, right? Some of y'all got some slow cookers going on. Yeah, hallelujah. I hope you got it real slow. No, I'm just joking. But I am so thankful, so honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor Sutton and New Life Church for the fine accommodations and all the niceties. I had a nice gift basket. I didn't really
understand what it was at the hour that I got in, but this morning I was able to open it up, so thank you so very much. I had some kind of a gourmet water. I never had gourmet water, but it was some kind of gourmet water. It's amazing. Anyways, I'm used to this. Sam's Choice. But I had some gourmet water over there, so thank you. Appreciate all your kindness. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and also we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Just going to read one verse in each of these books or letters, and bring greetings from Tabernacle de Vida Cristiana in Memphis. And so God is helping us, and we're trying to do the will of the Lord. You guys inspire this church. New Life Church inspires so many other congregations and so many other pastors and evangelists and leaders, because I believe what God's church should always be, amen, is the body of believers that is active and willing and ready to engage in what God's plan and purpose is. When you come to God, God automatically does something. He removes the scales from your eyes, and you realize this is the reason I was born. Amen. This is the reason I exist. Once you understand that, I'm telling you what, it's about to get dangerous. When you realize why you were born, why you exist. All the situations and the things that brought you up to that point, don't hate them. Don't get mad at them. Don't say, God, where were you at? All of those were building blocks. All those things were character builders. All of those things that you went through and you faced, it was all just to make you what God is wanting to use you for, to reach our world and in the time that we have, in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, want to read verse number 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Romans chapter number 8. And Romans 8, that's an awesome chapter right there. I'm telling you what. If you ever felt discouraged, just pick it up. Read it, man. But I just want to read verse 30. Romans chapter 8, we're just going to read verse 30. The Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's some words in this passage: predestinate, called, justified, glorified. By the grace of God, I want to help us to understand some things this morning. If you're the first time guest, welcome. If you've been coming since 2 years ago, you guys inaugurated, welcome. But God has a purpose for us this morning. Just want to preach on this thought: the devil does not waste his time on losers. The devil does not waste his time on losers. Amen. Amen. Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word, that you'll anoint every heart, every mind, every ear that's here. Let it hear and receive what you have to say. We trust you, Lord, to make a difference today. And we give you all the glory, give you all the praise. And let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. As you're seated, let's clap our hands to the Lord and let's give him praise. Oh God, we give you the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you the praise. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There was brought to my attention, I'm not a reptile or amphibious lover, But I'm sure we have a couple of maybe here that like, you know, iguanas and, you know, snakes and all that stuff. The best snakes I've seen, they've been bitten dead. Praise God. But some people have fascination for these things, and thank God. Hallelujah. God's made us all different and whatever. But anyways, there is a particular species of snake, and I wish I was able to get here a little early. I was going to show you a picture of this snake. This snake is it's a pretty interesting snake. Now, it's called the Dyspletis scraba. And you probably have the better pronunciation of that, but that's the one I have. I'm going to go with that one, okay? Dyspletis scraba. And this is called the egg-eating snake. Anybody ever heard of this snake? Okay, good. Anybody else? One person. Okay, oh, two. Okay, good. So we've got two snake lovers here, praise God. Anyway, this snake, what it does, it doesn't look for anything that's alive. This snake is always looking for eggs, and it has the ability to just move its jaw in such a way that it encompasses the whole egg of whatever nest it goes into and begins to swallow this egg. And in the process, I'm not going to get graphic, but in the process, it extracts everything from the egg and then spits out the shell. It's a pretty intense movement, but I was impressed by this snake. Now, this snake represents a critical principle in what I want to share today, I believe, in the spiritual world. Because we know that the serpent represents the evil, or evil and represents the enemy from the beginning. We've heard of this, and we know that in the book of Genesis, when it speaks about the serpent that tempted Eve and Adam, that this snake or serpent, it represents the enemy or represents evil. And I'm not going to go into the question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. We understand, of course, the chicken came first. But for all intents and purposes, the egg represents life, or the beginning of life. Life begins in the egg. Life emerges from the egg. What happens every time we come to church here at New Life, we are experiencing somebody come out of the egg, come out of their shell. Somebody is beginning to breathe, amen, the breath of life for the first time. When people come to this place, God is able to do something in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirits to give them a new lease on life. And so we understand that the egg represents life, the beginning of life, and where life emerges. Now, the devil, or Satan, is the ultimate preemptor. And what I mean by that, to preempt means to take an action to prevent an event or action to to interrupt an action. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to preempt. And Satan attacks the purposes of God not only after they begin, but before they begin, in order to preempt them. He is seeing some potential, and he's wanting to quash it before it gets out of control. He understands some things are about to happen. The time that your foot hit the asphalt, amen, on this property, he said, oh, I got to stop, amen, this person from getting what God has for them. Somehow, some way, I've got to try to block it. But you know what? He came a little too late. You're already here. I said you're already here. And you've already felt and feeling the presence of Almighty God. But his plan, the Bible tells us, is to preempt. Now, the Bible speaks of a monster, a sea monster, if you want to use that term, called the Leviathan, the destroyer of creation. Now, Leviathan, the sea monster, this refers to both the serpent-like sea creature and to the mythological monster of chaos opposed to the true God. And they have been sightings, according to the Nordic Norway. They've seen great serpents that surrounded the world, and the Germanic tribes attributed earthquakes to the Leviathan moving around. And the Jewish lore viewed Leviathan as a destroyer of creation. But Moses was chosen by God. And when God chose Moses to set all the Hebrew slaves free from Pharaoh's grasp, an effort to stop history's greatest deliverance took place. And the serpent, the Leviathan, the destroyer, the preemptor, the devil, amen, tried his best to stop. It was already said the decree was put out. Every Hebrew male that was born was to die. And they were thrown into the Nile River. They were not given an opportunity to make it to their first birthday. Every Hebrew male was to die. And as this was going on, the Bible tells us about this boy that was born to this couple that realized, you know, I'm not willing for my son to die. I thank God for parents, amen, who are not willing to see their children die. I thank God for grandparents who are not willing to let their grandchildren die. I thank God for aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, fathers and my baby die. But the devil wants to kill. He wants to stop. He wants to preempt. And so this scenario is being played out. And thousands upon thousands of Hebrew male babies are being killed, thrown into the Nile. Only by the miraculous power of God did Moses survive. It's amazing, the thing that was killing everybody else saved him. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter, amen, what you've been through. God can allow the worst of your situations, amen, to bring you great deliverance. That same river that was drowning other people saved him. Somebody said, oh, you can't do that because you're from here and you have this problem and you have this background and you have this baggage. But you know what? You came too late because God saved the young man out of Bronx, New York. Amen. Both my parents are immigrants. Amen. I'm not supposed to be here today, but God's good. I said God's good. Amen. I hear people say it time ago, but I believe it, and I know why it was said so often. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, on my way to hell, and that is the truth. But God's grace, his mercy, amen, came and delivered. And that same grace and mercy is here to deliver this morning. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, because the old serpent was familiar with the prophecies. In Isaiah 9 and 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God said a baby is coming. There is a baby that is coming. Amen. And it doesn't matter what kind of obstacles. It doesn't matter what kind of political climate. It doesn't matter what kind of economic situation. Amen. This baby is going to face. I'm telling you, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Messiah would come in the form of a baby. So Satan had to do something to stop him. And because the devil does not waste time with losers, he goes after those with the great potential, calling, anointing, I want to tell you that those of you that God is using right now, don't ever feel, amen, that you've arrived, and don't ever, amen, let your guard down. Understand this. You've been anointed. You've been called, and God's hand's on your life, but the enemy is wanting to stop everything God wants to put into you. But don't succumb to that. Fight the good fight. Stay in the race. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. The Lord is coming soon. Amen. And we will see the King. But this is not the time to be distracted. Amen. We've got to stay focused. Amen. If you're fighting the worst, amen, battle of your life today, it's because the devil does not waste time on losers. And although he doesn't know every detail of our future, he knows enough about it. Amen. That when this kind of individual, amen, sets on the scene, amen, things are going to start to begin to wreak havoc within my kingdom. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was due to be born. King Herod heard of a king to be born, and he sought out to kill him. Now, I had the opportunity to see all the great things that Herod was able to build and to construct. The man was an archaeological or architectural genius. He was amazing. His vision, his pious of wanting to be, amen, the greatest that ever lived. And in everything that he constructed and he built, he was always trying to set a landmark. This is what Herod has done. That's why he is known as Herod the Great, because he did some awesome things. And I don't have time to get into all that, but he was always paranoid. He was a paranoid that somebody was going to take his stuff. Now, let me tell you, if you live your life just to acquire stuff here, you will always live paranoid. Amen. Our prayers go out to those in Paradise, California, and all the things, the atrocities that happened there by the natural disaster, the fire that was there, and our prayers go for them. But I'm telling you, if all you have is your stuff, your things, your cars, your homes, if that's all you've got, amen, you're in a very precarious place. But when you understand that, you know, thank God for what you've given me, but this is not all. Amen. The most important thing that I have, amen, is that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And no fire can take that from me. Amen. No government can take that from me. Amen. No individual can take that from me. The song we sing, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. It's not predicated on Dow Jones. It's not predicated on the White House. It's not predicated on anything but the grace and the glory and the power and the promise of God. Hallelujah. What we see is that the devil tried to stop Jesus before his ministry started. Herod was paranoid. And so he had all the baby boys from Bethlehem killed, all of them, 2 years and younger. He was trying to stop it, but you can't derail God's plan. You can't stop God. I've seen some people go around with some shirts, Nike shirts, say unstoppable. No, you are stoppable. Well, who is not stoppable is God. You can't stop God. It doesn't matter who you are. God will not be stopped. Unstoppable. That's the God we serve. The enemy seeks to attack and destroy the beginning of God's promises. Consider the Jewish people just for a moment as we move on. God promised to gather his people from all nations of the world. He promised that Israel would be a nation again. God says all of these things. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34. No time to read it, but it mentions that. And also Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. It begins to talk about this. The enemy saw the promise. And as the ancient prophecies were about to be fulfilled, Satan in great fury broke out against the Jews. All of these things God said he was going to do, he was going to bring to pass. All the people, his people that were scattered abroad, he was going to bring them from the four quarters of the earth. But led by Hitler and Nazism, the Jews began to die by the millions. Satan was eating the eggs of prophecy. And hell was trying to stop the promise of God. Satan wanted to wipe out every Jew so the prophecies would die. He wanted to stop the nation of Israel from being born again. Now, you have to understand, even in the times of Jesus Christ, Israel was a nation, but it wasn't governed by Israel. So we're looking at centuries of rule and oppression by others. And then to finally, they had no land. They were no nation. They were destroyed, or taken from their land. But God said, this is what I'm going to do. I know it looks like it's done. I know it looks like it's over. Somebody needs to hear this today. I know it looks like it's done. I know it looks like it's over. There's no hope. But I want you to know, when God speaks, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Amen. God is able to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Amen. God is able to open up doors that you and I don't even know exist. Amen. God is a way maker. I said, God is a way maker. Hallelujah. And it seemed like out of nowhere, it was amazing that the Jews were being annihilated. Literally, it was a very, very sad day in our world. Amen. And for the Jewish people. And Hitler was having his way. And we know the history of World War II. And seems like it was all gone. Hell always seeks to destroy life before it begins, before it matures. That's why Sunday school is so important. You know what Sunday school does? Sunday school is emphasizing what you and I are teaching our kids at home. Because that's where it all starts. That's where we say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's where we say, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's when we begin to put priorities in the hearts of our children. Why? Because our children grow up, amen, to become young men and young women. And they begin to be the ones who form and move and shape a society, a nation. Hallelujah. And there was something about these people, the Jewish community, through all that they faced and all they went through. Amen. There was something they had put inside their children, and they let them to know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it didn't matter if they were taken to different concentration camps or they were estranged or some even killed terribly, but all these things happened. But I heard a story of this World War II event. They were trying to find the children of the Jewish people that may have been scattered abroad Europe, and what they went to these different clinics and orphanages and trying to find them, and they said, we don't have any Jewish children here. But one of the rabbis decided to do something, and I don't know all the details. Oh, I don't remember them right now. But what he did is he asked, could he go into the orphanage at night while they were resting? And he walked through the rooms where they were laying, and he began to quote to them the Shema. He began to quote to them, Hear, O Israel. And there were children that began to cry out, Mom, Dad. Why? Because they knew something was put in them ever since birth. Amen. You are a child. You are a child of God. I do believe, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart. In other words, he will not forget. He may be out on drugs. He may be in jail. He may be wherever he's at, but there's something inside of him that when he decides, I'm going to go home, he knows where home's at. Hallelujah. We're not wasting time. We're investing in God's purpose and plan. Bible tells us that all of these things were trying to stop. And something interesting in Isaiah 66 and 8, The NIV says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. The question is, can this happen? Israel, a nation that had not really existed as a separate nation for nearly 2,500 years. 2,500 years was declared a new sovereign state by the Act of the United Nations on May 14th, 1948. That nation was born in a day. Don't say it can't happen. God is able to make it happen. God was able to take Joseph out of prison in one day. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I believe there are some powerful things that can happen in a day. I heard someone preach a message one time of the difference a day can make. There was a man that was begging outside a home and just having the dogs lick up his sores. His name was Lazarus. But in one day, all that changed. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, God can make a difference. God can make a difference. God can make a difference. But here we go. All of these things I'm bringing out to us today, because we have to understand that although hell is trying to snuff out its life before it's born, and because the devil understands that he cannot allow certain things to be birthed, and so he doesn't waste his time on losers. I want somebody to hear and understand what I'm telling you today, that the spirit, or if I could say the egg-eating spirit, seeks to kill the young, to destroy life as it emerges. Amen. Long before David ever slung a stone at Goliath, the devil knew that he would become who he would turn into be, or who he would become. Hell sought to destroy Israel's greatest king preemptively because the devil knew how God was going to use David. I want to tell you where I can back this up. When King Saul tries to tell David that he cannot take on such a man, such a giant as Goliath, but David knew better, and this is what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 34. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. Verse 35 says, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. I saved my father's sheep, his lamb. But this is what happens. And when he arose against me, because it wasn't just did he wanted my father's stuff. Now he was coming after me. Some people don't ever want to get engaged because I don't want the devil to mess with me. I don't want the devil to bother me. You need to hear this today. Amen. Greater is he that is in you. I said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you say, well, I don't have the greater in me. Well, today is a good day. I said, today is a good day to get the greater on the inside of you. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where God wants to pour out of his spirit upon your life. That will give you power. That will give you power. That will give you power over all Satan, all sin, all temptation. Oh God. Hallelujah. David said, I saved the lamb, and then he rose up against me. I like what it says there in verse 35. It says, I caught him by his beard. That would try to get me, but I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Smote him and slew him. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. See, what David understood, this is not about me and Goliath. This isn't about me and the devil. Amen. What happened is that God, amen, has given me a fresh start. God has given me new life. And so now, amen, I've got the greater on the inside of me. And so this is not between me and the devil. This is between the God and me. Amen. And that serpent called the devil. And my Bible says, I will bruise his head. I'm going to stomp on the devil's head. He cannot take what God has promised me.
Oh God. I want somebody to understand the devil does not waste his time on losers. And if he's fighting you and he's attacking you and he's messing with your mind and you feel like, I don't know if I can do this, understand, amen, that he is bothering you. He's coming after you because he knows what God has packaged inside of you. Oh, I don't have the time today, but if I could just recount some instances in my life, and I'm sure there are many other testimonies that could say the same thing. Amen. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, amen, what would have happened? But God. Oh, hallelujah. But God. David understood that the lion and the bear, the lion was not satisfied with just stealing David's possessions. He rose against David to destroy what he would become. The devil is not just fighting you. He is fighting what you will become. David had a testimony. He said, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Hell tried to take me out before today, but the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Many of you probably know this, but the ESV says it like this: for I know the plans, because God has some plans. I said, God has some plans. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you're in the will of God, and the enemy attacks, when you're in the will of God, and the enemy attacks, be encouraged, be strengthened, because the enemy does not waste his time on losers. He will not spend energy on a nothing and a nobody. The devil won't waste a second on you and I if you didn't matter to God. He's after you because God has great plans in store for you. He's busy thwarting the purpose of God. So press on. Woo, press on in the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh God, I want to see your anointing flow through my life. God, I want to see you make a difference through my life. Amen. We've heard of the olive press. To get that oil out of that olive, you gotta press it. You press it, and all of a sudden that oil begins to merge, and wow, and that's what you and I like to buy. Oh, I want to get this extra virgin olive oil. Well, understand that was an olive, amen, that went through a whole lot of pressing to give you that extra virgin olive oil. You understand what I'm saying? Good things cost. I said good things cost. And what God wants to do through your life is a good thing, and it's going to cost us. But it's worth it. I said it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. Just let that anointing begin to come. Hey, he tries to attack you. Amen. What every attack should just be a revelation to you. Oh, God's about to do something here right now. You should know, yeah, okay, God. You should, like, you should start smiling, you know. Yeah. Okay, God, what you about to do now? I know it's coming. The devil's trying too hard. The greatness of your calling, the majesty of your blessing, the power of your purpose, the value of your victor. Amen. The reason you have an enemy is that your life counts for something, and the devil does not waste his time on. Oh, yeah, I was, yeah. Y'all said that like losers.
Come on now. The devil doesn't waste his time on. Ah, there we go. Hallelujah. Right? That one don't waste his time on losers. The reason why he's doing all the stuff he's doing, because he realized who I am. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hallelujah. My God, my God. You're not an accident. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not an accident. God has an intention for every soul in this room. None of you were a mistake. God was intentional with your arrival. You did not get the Holy Ghost by accident. It wasn't an accident. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not here by happenstance or some fortunate series of events. In fact, you cannot even come to God unless he draws you. God has appointed you to be here. The Bible says no man comes to God except the Spirit draws him. You didn't just wake up, amen, this morning and say, you know what, hey, I think I'm going to go to church. No, I guess I'll stop living for the devil and go follow God. No, God said in John 15 and 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. God chose you. God appointed you. You're not here of your own volition, but God chose you. God saw something in you he wanted himself. Amen. God foreknew. Remember the text we said? He predestinated, he called, he justified, and he glorified. Notice these attributes listed a past tense because God chose you. The devil fights you because God chose you. You must grasp the fact that you have significance in the eternal scheme of God's plans. Your life matters. I said your life matters. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there are some dark, oppressive spirits, amen, that are causing people to want to take their life because they're saying, what's the point? Amen. I'm not going to get out of this. Nothing's going to change. The best way to get out of this is for me to end it all. Amen. But don't listen to that. That's a lie from hell. Amen. The devil wants to stop. I said the devil wants to eat the egg. He wants to, amen, preempt what God has purposed for you to bring forth. He wants to stop the life, amen, that God wants to see emerge from you. Oh my God. I'm almost done. The musicians can come. Understand this. The old snake is after you with purpose. He has a good reason to come after you. And what you will become, he does not waste his time on. You know what he does? He attacks winners. He attacks winners. Now, look, this is not some kind of psychological way of trying to get you to think positive. No. I want you to see it the way God sees it today. The devil is trying to stop you because he knows that God has called you to be a winner. Why did he go to Eve? I know a lot of people put a lot of shade on Eve, but Eve, you know what? The devil knew that Eve, this is a powerful woman right here. I've got to find somehow to thwart her. A lot of people want to paint Eve as some kind of, you know, ignorant, not knowing nothing, making dumb decisions. And before you do that, we have to look into the mirror because we've done some ignorant stuff. We made some dumb decisions. Right? Hello? But you wouldn't call yourself ignorant, would you? I hope not. So I don't think it was because Eve was ignorant or she was dumb. Although, well, what I do see, though, is that the enemy was trying to say, I'm going to stop something. Before these decide to get fruitful and multiply, I need to stop this. I want God to kill them. And so, I mean, he presented the whole thing, and man, he was cunning, he was sly, he put it out there. And she took the bait. But not only did she take the bait, Adam took the bait. Now when they're in this situation, and the devil said, okay, here it comes. The hammer's about to fall. They're about to die. And then God said, the ground's cursed. And your work, you're gonna have to do it by the sweat of your brow, and it's gonna be hard, and then he tells the woman, you're gonna have pain in childbearing, and all these curses is going on. The ground's cursed, and the work's gonna be harder now. And now, don't think that work was the curse. I just wanted to throw that out there. Some people feel like, oh man, the work is of the devil. No, that wasn't the curse. Work was going on before the curses. All that did was make it harder, okay? Adam had a job before. Uh-oh. God told him to name all the animal, all the beasts of the field. He said, and I want you to take care of this garden. And then he gave him a wife. Oh, that's a concept. Huh? That's a get a job and then get a wife. That's a concept. Come on now. Well, so he already had a job. He had a place to live. Hello. All those things were already working. So all these curses going on. I got off the subject. Hell of a. All these things were going on. But listen to this. In the midst of all these cursings, you're like, oh, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible. But God says, hold up. I want to tell you something. Amen, Satan. Listen to this. This woman, yeah, she's going to give birth, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful. Amen. But she's about to give birth to a child, a son. Amen. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. I said, there's a promise in the pain. There's a promise in the pain. There's a promise in the pain. God made you a winner. Oh, God. And as we conclude here today, want to take us to the farm. And some may know about a yoke. Amen. I was from the city, so when you said yolk, I was thinking about eggs. But but at the farm, you got this yolk. You put the oxen, beast of labor, in the yolk. And the yolks were weren't placed upon mature oxen, because these mature oxen were too strong, and they could easily break it off. So the farmers placed the yolk on young oxen. And those young, tender, developing oxen grew with the yoke. And the yoke was just a part of who they were. They always had the yoke on them. And though they could easily destroy that simple yoke of wood, they never even tried, because they were accustomed to it. But the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And so what the Bible is revealing to us, amen, that the yoke would be destroyed because of the anointing. So the yoke was not destroyed by the outside forces, but the yoke, or the word anointing in Isaiah 10:27, means fatness. Hallelujah. I got encouraged when I saw it. I said, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Fatness. Increase. Amen. The Bible says the yoke is destroyed because the oxen finally realize its power. And it swells its muscles. And through the strength and fatness, the yoke shatters, never more to bind the ox. I come to tell somebody this morning that God has put some fatness in you, some anointing in you, some power. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And whatever it is that's been hindering you, holding you back, trying to control you in the name of Jesus. You've got to say, God, I'm believing, amen, what you said about me. I've been predestinated, amen. I've been called, I've been justified, I've been glorified. I will not hold back, I will not be detained, because, amen, the devil doesn't waste his time on losers, and you call me to be a winner. Now there's a house full, amen, of witnesses and believers that know what I've preached to you today is true. Well, there's some of us here today that we came and we're hearing it, but it's like, I don't know if that could really be me. You know, I don't know if God's speaking to me about all this. And I just want to remove that doubt from your mind. Yeah, God knew you was going to be here today. God knew he was going to bring this bald-headed preacher to you today. God knew he brought you to the best place, amen, in Birmingham, Alabama. Hallelujah. For you to live for him. And so, this is not a coincidence. This is not a coincidence. God has your number. And God said, all that you've been through, amen, the devil hadn't destroyed you. Because if he could have, he would have already. But I've called you. Bible says he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I wonder if there's somebody here today who has not experienced, amen, that yoke-breaking anointing. Somebody here today who has not had that opportunity to say, I got the greater one on the inside of me. Look, amen, there is no shame. And me saying, okay, God, I've been struggling, but I need what your word has spoken to me today. Hell has been preemptive, trying to keep you bound up and tied up and shackled up and depressed and oppressed and negative. But God showed up today to say, you know what? No. Amen. We're going to break that today. That's going to be broken today. I wonder if there's somebody here that needs the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, that's just God, that greater one coming on the inside of you. Amen. That's when God comes in on the inside. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will begin to speak in other tongues. And God begins to do some powerful things in your life. Now, that comes, but you've got to surrender to him. Like, you got to say, okay, God, I'm going to let you drive now. Man, my life's a mess. I'm tired of crashing into everything, ruining everything. God, I'm gonna let you drive. I want you to take control. I'm gonna repent. I'm gonna give it all to you. I believe it'd be good for all of us here. Amen. To say, okay, God, we want to renew. We want to renew our focus, our vision, and what you have for us. Amen. We're believing you, God, that everything that we have faced up to this point, amen, has that divine purpose. And we're trusting you, God, to do greater things through us. And you, my friend, that's listening, that wants to, amen, to get a new lease on life. You're wanting to, amen, to start afresh. The Bible says, amen, that God makes all things new. And you come to the right place. This is new life. I said, this is new life. And God wants to bring new life to you today. I wonder if we could, amen, just come to the front. Amen. It's okay. This is all family here. We all family. Don't feel bad. Hey, everybody, just find a place. Come to the front. God wants to talk to help you today. Amen. No one's going to. No one can do this for you. You got to do it for yourself. But God has something for you. And I want us, as we gather around the front here today. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that Satan wanted to take advantage of you. But we're not ignorant of his devices. And this day, something is released when you begin to worship God. Something happens. You know, worshiping God, you don't have to be a professional at it. Some people want to be pros at it. You know, it has nothing to do with that. All it has to do with you saying, okay, God, I need you. God, I surrender myself to you. God, I want you to take control. God, I need you right now. I need you. I need you. You begin to talk to God with your own words, your own vocabulary. You talk to God. I'm telling you, God's going to show up in a mighty way in your life right now. The Holy Ghost, the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Is here to, amen, to bring some revelation. Bring some revelation to you. Amen. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. God is the one who has brought you here on purpose. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's all pray. Let's lift up our voices. Let's lift up our hearts. Let's talk to him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you see every hand. You see every hand, Lord God, every soul. Every mind that's here in this house. Come on. Talk to him. Lift up your voice. Oh, God, I'm going to let your purpose be revealed in my life. I'm coming for a new start, a new beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, this is our opportunity. You've been fighting, but God's on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Talk to him. In Jesus' name. God, right now we're here. We're asking for your anointing to come upon us. Make everything new in us. God, we want to come forth. Oh, hallelujah. As a new creature today, let every chain be broken. Let every fetter be loosed. Oh, God, touch our minds. Touch our hearts, our spirits. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. It's you and Jesus this morning. Oh God, you make all things. In my life, in my family, in my spirit, God, I decide to follow you. I'm going forward. That's it. Press, all press. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
I am amazed at your love.
I am amazed that you love me.
Oh, my
you hold my world in your hands.
yes, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Today is the day. Today is the day, God. Oh, my soul. My soul loves you, Jesus. I will follow you. Of God is here. Hallelujah. To make all things new in every life. Hallelujah. In every heart that says, yes, Lord, I will follow you forward. Today is a new day. Today is a new day, Jesus. And by your grace, oh, by your power, by your purpose, by your plan, I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus. Come on, let's lift up your soul to him. Oh, hallelujah.